I'm Dave Miller. This is Think Out Loud. Inmates in Oregon are required to have access to legal resources, but the legal books available to prisoners in Oregon has varied widely at different institutions. Now, inmates across the state will be able to get help on their appeals or other legal issues online using a new secure web portal. Catherine Bowie is a state law librarian. She coordinated with Kelly Raths, an administrator for the Department of Corrections, on this project, and they both join me now. It's great to have both of you on the show.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Kelly Raths first. Can you describe the legal requirements here? I mean, what do you have to make sure that prisoners, that adults in the state's custody have access to?
Yeah, so our bread and butter, so to speak, the things that we, at the end of the day, need to make sure people have access to are around their conditions of confinement and their cases of conviction. So, you know, in the spirit of kind of checks and balances on power, we understand when people come into our custody, you know, it's very important for us that they're able to, you know, if they feel that we're not following rules or other things, be able to challenge and productively talk back to us about their conditions of confinement. And then, of course, what brings them to our custody.
Catherine Bowie, how much do you, as a state law librarian, how much do you and other librarians who are a part of the state's Department of Justice, how much have you dealt with in the past requests from inmates, you know, about these kinds of things, about, for example, appeals?
Well, we're with the judicial branch, so it's not the Department of Justice. And we get quite a few, and it was confusing at first. And because I knew all of the institutes at the Department of Corrections had libraries. And so I started kind of an investigation, trying to figure out what resources they had available, how they responded to those kinds of requests, and if there was a more efficient way of doing that.
You were confused at first because you thought, hey, there are libraries. Why are we getting requests?
Exactly. And they would be huge requests and kind of basic, some primary law resources, a lot of cases. Can you make copies of this? Can you send me copies of laws? We don't have this. And it caused a lot of confusion. And so I reached out and started, the first step was I contacted the individual institutes and asked for the libraries. And it was not an easy search. And then I found out that each library was handled a little differently. They had different types of resources. It wasn't uniform. And they also had restrictions on, we would make copies of cases, and you're talking, it can be hundreds of pages. And we'd try to mail those in, and that caused problems at the correctional institutes, too.
Why, Kelly Raths, what's wrong with that? Why couldn't a state law librarian mail a packet of 100 pages or hundreds of pages of some, you know, court case to an inmate?
Yeah, well, that is certainly possible. But I think for us, the bigger question and why the partnership has worked so well is because we already provided for those resources. And so part of what we were wanting to do, and this partnership has helped us in that collaboration, is to just make really clear, comprehensible, and accessible what those resources were. I was confident that we were providing everything we needed inside of our facilities. But if people didn't understand how to access that in our facilities and were contacting the library, then I knew that, you know, we had some ways to improve our systems.
So Catherine Bowie, back to you as a state law librarian. How did this actually happen? You started getting, you know, these requests. You were a little bit confused by it. You made some calls. When did you reach out to the Department of Corrections itself to say, hey, we should figure out a better way?
Well, I did it immediately and talked to the county law libraries, public libraries. Everybody was getting those same kind of requests. And I said, there's got to be a better way. Finally contacted, and Kelly and I were trying to figure out when the first time we actually talked, and we couldn't remember because you have to understand this project has been going on for about 3 years. It's a long, very involved process to get this project implemented. And so went through a lot of questions and found out that there was a need for a better way of doing this. And so we put our heads together. And working across agencies, across branches, hasn't been done that often that I'm aware of. And we just got together. I told them that the best way would be through internet resources. Paper copies are difficult to buy now. They are very costly. It's hard for uniform access. And so if there is any way we can get internet access into the Department of Corrections, it would allow for uniform access to all the same resources. No matter where an inmate may be transferred to another facility, they don't have to learn new tools. They can keep going on their same research on their case of confinement and deal with that regardless of what facility they're at. And I have to add in here, it's not just for the Department of Corrections, the Oregon Youth Authority, and the State Hospital. They all have access to these same resources now.
So, Kelly Raths, when you heard the best way to do this would be to have it be online. What went through your mind as an official from the Department of Corrections?
Well, I think in many ways it was like, perhaps this is it. We have been waiting forever to figure out how to bring cloud-based services into our custody. And so this became kind of that opportune Cinderella moment where with the partnership, and really some great guidance and collaboration with Catherine and the FastCase tool that we have, it all links back into itself. And so this became kind of that first test case for us where we could actually hook our inmate network systems up to the internet and safely do that. And then, for us, it's created excitement about what currently exists, but then it's opened this door of, and what next?
So just to be clear, inmates in Oregon, they can't just go online to the full open internet?
That's correct, Dave. We in Oregon, we're pretty proud that, several years ago, we brought, internet access, video enhanced phone calls, internet through tablets and other things. But it was through a third party vendor. And what makes this really unique, I think, nationally, is that our IT, in collaboration with Catherine and her IT and the FastCase folks that we worked with.
That's a vendor, a private
that's
company.
That's the vendor, correct. Have been able to create our own cloud-based network that we get to host and we get to determine and really provide for free without cost to our folks in custody.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking right now about a new online system that gives inmates in Oregon and also patients at the Oregon State Hospital and young people who are part of the youth correctional system for Oregon, it gives all of them access to legal resources. Catherine Bowie, my understanding is that you actually toured prisons all across the state early on as a part of this project. What was your thinking?
Well, it was the first time I'd ever done anything like that, certainly outside of my comfort zone. But one thing that a librarian does is you have to understand the situation well in order to address it. And one big goal for the Oregon Judicial Department, and I think also for the Department of Corrections, is we want to have everyone to have access to increase and make better access to justice and access to the courts. And we're using technology to do that. This is just one small project of many that the Oregon Judicial Department handles. It includes electronic filing, digital access to court records, and now for the adults in custody and for the Oregon youth, they can address the issues dealing with their cases of confinement through this new system. So in order to learn what the needs were and to understand them, I went with Kelly and we traveled across the state to almost all, outside of I think two, correct, of the facilities, met with the inmates, talked to them. I talked to the administrators. We traveled into segregated units. I had to see everything and to understand and listen to the inmates, what their needs were, what their concerns were, what difficulties they were having. And it wasn't easy. They came out, they were not used to being listened to. And I don't think
How could you tell that?
They looked down. Everything was kind of, and this is just my own take, everything was kind of, this is what we're being told to do, let's go. I don't think they felt like anything was going to be done. It was an institutionalized kind of demeanor that they had. There were a lot of questions that they posed, talking about they, you know, trust. They didn't trust anyone, and they didn't believe anything was going to change.
What was your take on the legal resources or the libraries that you were touring? What did they look like to you as a librarian?
Everyone was different. And a lot of security issues. They'd taken, some of the buildings are so old, they take any space possible. It's been modified over many, many years, trying to make it work. Dark corners, difficult areas for them to sit at a computer, security issues. It's not easy working in one of those facilities. It's dangerous. Timing, getting people in when they need to, I couldn't go through the entire list. That would be a question for Kelly. But one area I noticed, often the general library would be separated from the law library. And there was one area where there was a wall, and it was a dark corner, and one of the inmates wanted to show me some of the resources. I didn't feel comfortable going back there, and I said, you know, to make this more open, if they took this wall down, that modification alone would make a huge difference. When I went back about 2.5 years later, they had made that modification. They were proud of it. Hmm. I could feel and see that pride in them, and they wanted to show it to me. And when we started, after we went through, I met with everyone. I heard them. I told them they were part of the solution. Took down all their some things I learned that I wasn't aware of in a typical law library setting. This is completely different. Went back and we did the training, and when we showed them the resources they had available, they realized that they'd been listened to. Their demeanor changed. They sat up. They became engaged, and they started asking what more educational opportunities could we possibly provide. Some wanted to go to college. All of this opens up the door for more educational opportunities. They could literally, virtually now, sit in a classroom with individuals that are not incarcerated. The whole point is to get them ready to live outside, reduce recidivism, reduce the culture shock that hits them when they go back outside because they're interacting with individuals that are not incarcerated. So it's wide open.
Kelly Reths, I think the classic idea of inmates using a law library would be to work on an appeal or fight their incarceration. What else might these adults in custody use these resources for?
Dave, our first goal was to make sure that we had what they needed to do exactly what you just described, those cases of appeal. And so now our imaginations, now we get to kind of have our imaginations open to some next things. So certainly one of the things that, you know, we're aware of when people come into prison, there's a complicated web of just, you know, they're in debt. They need to be able to get IDs back. Many child welfare involvements, domestic violence, other kinds of entanglements, not just in the state of Oregon, but kind of back through multiple states. And so this tool is preparing us to be able to serve that need. And also, we have some brilliant people in custody. And I think one of the things Catherine and I were just talking about is one of the next steps is being able to bring in legal assistant education so people can walk out of our facilities being able to be employable. With those skill sets. So there's a number of things we've got.
We just have a few seconds left, and I'm curious, this is seen as a kind of pioneering project in this state. Have other states reached out to you to say, hey, we want to copy you?
I've had a couple states reach out. How about you, Catherine?
I have had the same. The cloud-based system, it's secure. I had to go out to the different vendors, and they developed this system specifically for correctional institutes, and it's the first of a kind. We hope it will continue. We're following Sweden's model to prepare individuals for the outside.
Kelly Raths and Catherine Bowie, thanks very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Catherine Bowie is a state law librarian. Kelly Raths is an administrator in Oregon's Department of Corrections. Coming up after a break, we're going to hear why the Hunger Games led one Oregon teen to become an archer and how she became one of the best young archers in the country.